Amen. Thank you, Kelby. Yes, such a strong, powerful word about stewardship. It's amazing how when you change your perspective on something like giving, it changes your whole attitude. You know, it's kind of like if you say, well, I have to give my money to God. What does that say that's already in your heart? You know, there's a lot of things we say, we have to do this. You know, I could say easily, well, I just got in from a third world nation last night at 2 a.m. and I have to preach this morning. I don't say that. I say, no, I get to. I get to. I get the privilege. I get the honor. I get the blessing of being able to encourage others with a word that's already encouraged me. And so I get to give to God because He has blessed me so much. I get the opportunity to reflect the goodness, the grace, the mercy, and the awesome giving power of my God. Somebody say amen to that. Well, guys, my name is Richard. If you haven't caught that before, I'm one of the pastors here at Bethel. And it is, I'm just happy to be at church. I missed church last week, and I'm one of those kind of people. I love to go to church. On my wedding day, we went on our honeymoon, and my wife was like, you don't have to go to church. You know, there's some grace, Sally, but we need to go to church. We need to start it off right. And then I got the clearance from my lead pastor at the time, Pastor Ron. He said, champ, you can miss church on your honeymoon. So I am happy to be here today, and we are kicking off a new series of messages called Speak Life. We just mentioned it's important about the words that we use. And to be honest, this is a series of messages that speaks directly to me because I have been on the receiving end of words that were not so good. And the power that we give them can directly affect your life. So I want to ask you to do something for me. If you've got a piece of paper or definitely your phone where you can take some notes, if I were you, I would be taking notes today. I know what I'm about to say, and I know if I were you, I would be in my seat taking notes today. And to be honest, a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about today can really change how you see life, your relationships, how you see yourself, and hopefully, some of the words that may have been spoken over you in years past that have had a stranglehold over your life, you may get some freedom from that today as well. Can somebody say amen? We're going to also look at a lot of scripture today. The Bible has tons and tons to say about the importance of our words and speaking life and the power of that. And so we're going to look at several things today. The first one is in Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Some of you have probably heard of this before. One of the things I do every single day is read a chapter from the book of Proverbs because this book is from the wisest man the Bible says that ever lived, and if you want to have some wisdom, you're going to need some words of wisdom. And so this is definitely a book to read again and again for well over a decade every day, and it's only 30 chapters, so every month I start over again, and this is one of the things I do in my daily Bible reading. And this is Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's say that together. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So that means death can come from your tongue and fruit gets produced. No, bananas won't fall from your mouth. It means the things that your words produce can either bring life or they can bring death. Essentially, there is potential from the words that come from your mouth to build up or to destroy. For example, you can be the spiritual leader of your home simply by using your words wisely, or you can be the biggest enemy in your home by using your words wrongly. As we go through this message, we may uncover some words that were spoken to you by your mother or by your father or by your employer or some of your employees or friends or someone in your life that you have given access to be close to you. And these words that these people may have spoken, they may have paralyzed your potential. They may have destroyed your confidence and left you to the point where you were rendered ineffective and crippled in relationships going forward. So let's be completely honest. Words sometimes can hurt, can't they? I got home at 2 a.m., so I might need a little encouragement, a little or a little amen that might help out. Pastor Lance, I used to get it at 2 a.m. for different reasons. It wasn't quite holy missionary reasons for why I would come in that late, but God has redeemed me, set me free. Today is a day when we're going to take the power of those words that people have given us, and through the power of God's word, we're going to render those words neutral through the grace and power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is a day that you will stand up, my prayer is, and take authority and speak life over yourself and begin to declare who you are. If you are a child of God, there's a great little distinction there. If you are a child of God, if Jesus Christ, who we know has died on the cross for the sins of those who would call on him and offer forgiveness, and you receive that and you believe that on the third day, he rose from the grave. This is the good news of the gospel, that the punishment that we deserve because of our sin doesn't have to come to us, but it's already been given to Jesus Christ. That means that is the good news. If we believe that, that means that we are forgiven and we have the right to be called children of God. And as a child of God, we have authority. And as a child of God, we have permission to use God's words and to combat what the words others may have said or the words we may have heard from others. And I want to share this Bible story, one of my favorite, and this is in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapters 37, if you can turn over there for me. If you've ever read the book of Genesis, it is an amazing book. But the thing that's really interesting is almost half the book is about one big long story. And it tells the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it settles in on this guy named Joseph. And Joseph was the son of Jacob. He had tons and tons of brothers. And Joseph was the youngest. And as a younger child, I can see Joseph's position in this story. See, God had given him some dreams, big dreams. And he said, one day, the whole family is going to bow down to me. And of course, as the little brother, you think that's amazing. As the older brothers, you want to beat him up. And so the older brothers, if you know this story, they want to teach him a lesson. They want to get rid of this dreamer. And so some of the brothers say, we ought to kill him. But then one of them says, no, let's not kill him. Let's just get rid of him. Let's sell him into slavery. And so they all agree, and they see Joseph coming, and then they throw him in a pit, put him in a pit, and they sell him to slave traders, and they think that they've gotten away with this. But the one thing that is kind of sketchy in the whole thing, besides the thing itself, is they got to go and tell their daddy. Because their daddy sent him out to check on them. Now, these 12 brothers, they got to go home and explain. They got some explaining to do. And we find out what happens. It says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 31 through 35. It says, then they got Joseph's robe, coat of many colors. Some of you may have heard that before. And they slaughtered a goat, and they dipped the robe in the blood. And they took the ornate robe back to their father and said, listen to what they said, we found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe, not our brother's, your son's robe. That's all they say. And then it says, he recognized it and said, it is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. This is what's really shady. all his sons and daughters came to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will continue to mourn. Listen to the words he says out of his own mouth. I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. So he wept. So his father wept for him. Now, the interesting thing, there's a lot of interesting things about this. But the first thing is, how can you comfort someone who you have just deceived? That's why in marriage, a spouse finds it really difficult to console somebody that you have just damaged. Yeah. A lot of husbands like to go on damage control when we've done the wrong thing, but then we think we can fix it, don't we, husbands? Yeah, y'all are quiet. Y'all have learned. Just be quiet. See, the thing about this is so interesting is sometimes it's not the words that others tell us that are the most destructive. Sometimes it's the words that we say over ourselves that have the most impact in our life. And it's because the words that we say about ourselves, we have the tendency to believe them 100% of the time. We believe the stuff we say about ourselves 100% of the time. And we can literally convince ourselves that something is true when we begin to speak it out of our own mouth. That's why our words are so powerful. And before we get any further, I want you to know this is not what I'm talking about. It's not like a Harry Potter incantation or a spell. It's just not blind faith. It's not the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about when believers align their words up with the Word of God that's been tested for thousands of years by billions of believers around the world, that His Word is true. It will come to pass. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy confess that His Word is true. And as believers, we line up our minds and our words with what He says, and we can believe it will come to pass. Some of y'all can go, There you go. See, it just sounds good. The words that we tell ourselves and the words that other people say to us, they can have power and a lasting impact on all of us. I just want to share another story. Many of you guys just heard. I just came back from Haiti, and we took a very small group of men with us to Haiti. I want to show you the guys that were with me that went to Haiti. Of course, myself, we had the guy that's next to me. Some of you guys may or may not remember him. Him and his wife were here at Bethel for years. He was a retired a fifth group doctor. His name is Barrett. After he retired, they moved to Texas at College Station. And I've been asking him to come on a mission trip for years. If I hang around you long enough, sooner or later, I'm going to ask you, hey, you want to go to Haiti? You want to go to Bolivia? You want to go somewhere? And if you know me, I usually don't take no for an answer. I'll just take your no, and then, you know, 6 months will go by, and I'll ask you again. And I'll tell you what happened, all the great stuff, and I'll ask you again. Well, 2 years later, he finally says yes, and of course, it wrecked his life and changed him, and now he wants to bring a whole slew of doctors down with him, which is great. And of course, you know our amazing youth minister, Aaron Wilkes. Man, you need to run for mayor. That was amazing. Aaron Wilkes, he was down there. I'll talk to you more about him in a second. And also Juan. Many of you guys don't know Juan. He is my friend. He goes to this church, and he is one of the funniest men on the planet. I also wanted to bring to your attention, we have a long-term missionary who is in Haiti, a long-term missionary. Her name is Adrian. Let me show that picture. This is Adrian. Some of you guys know Adrian. Some of you guys don't. She has been in Haiti now for 2.5-3 years. We all went down on our very first mission trip to Haiti with our team, and she loved it so much, she said, I ain't coming back. And she's been down there, and the little girl that she's holding, her name is Abilene. Now, one of the things in the life of a long-term missionary is you can get very lonely. Now, you imagine you grew up, she's from the Northwest, you know, and she moves to Haiti, and most people in Haiti don't look like her. Most people in Haiti don't talk like her. So imagine how potentially lonely this kind of situation could be. There's only like 12 people she knows that speaks English. and she's down there. One of the things I would ask you to do, I thought about this during worship. I would like for you to take your phones out. Hopefully you still got them out. Take a picture of Adrian. Just take your phone out and take a picture of her. This is for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't want you to forget who she is. The life of a missionary can be a very lonely and discouraging life. When you see this picture, I want you to pray for her. And also, I would ask you to do this. The little girl she's holding, her name is Abilene. She has a disease that's very common to African Americans that we've heard of. It's called sickle cell anemia. And sickle cell anemia is a very horrible disease. My dad has it. I have what they consider traits of it, so it really didn't affect me. But this little girl has it, and the lifespan of someone with full-blown out sickle cell anemia is not very long, especially if you're in a third world country. They are believing that she would go through a bone marrow transplant, and if she has that, she can live a long and healthy life. And so I would ask that you would pray for that. I would also ask for you to take that picture that you just took, put it on social media, and ask your friends to pray for Adrian and this little girl named Abilene, that one or two things would happen. Number one, and we know God is an amazing God. He can heal her like that. Sometimes he will use a doctor. If that doesn't happen, we need a doctor to receive her, to be able to do this transplant, to be able to give this little girl a full and productive life. Can you guys agree with that, that that's something we can be praying and believing God for? Okay. So in Haiti, we were in a meeting a few days ago, group of leaders. We're all together, and the place that we go to is this place called Carrières. And it is a village of about 2,000-3,000 people. And in the midst of this village, there is a nonprofit organization called Mission of Grace that has sprung up since a little bit before the earthquake of 2010, where 300,000 people died, which is a lot of people if you think about it. And they do phenomenal work there, just to let you know. They have a huge orphanage. They have a boys' home. They have a girls' home for teenagers and young adults who didn't have parents growing up or have no place to live. They have a soup kitchen. They have a medical clinic. They have a school that educates children, because you have to pay to go to school in Haiti. And the unemployment rate is 70%. An average person makes about $350 a year, so most people cannot afford it. Well, during this meeting, Aaron and I were there, and I was talking about something, and right after it was over, I asked Aaron, I said, do you have anything you want to share? Well, Aaron gets this encouraging, or some people would refer to it as a prophetic word, for this young lady in this meeting. And he told her that God had showed her, or showed him, that her and her husband had had difficulty having a baby, and that God was going to do a work in her life, and that she would have a baby. And as he began to speak, now I'm on the side like, I hope he got this right. I'm like, is she married? I don't know. But all of a sudden, I'm looking at him, I'm looking at her, and I look at her, and she just starts crying. I mean, visibly. And Haitians, for the most part, especially in a business meeting, they hold it all together. They don't really show a lot of outward signs by culture of emotion. Well, she starts crying. And he finishes up and asks a question. I said, what did this mean to you? And her husband and her have had so much difficulty trying to have a baby. And then here comes this man from thousands of miles away, who doesn't know her from the hole in the wall, and begins to speak words of life. Words of life over her and her situation. I want you to know, not just her, but everybody in that meeting, the man sitting beside me, he said, we know that God is here. We know that he's here. They all know her. They all know her difficulty. And for someone to speak such words of life, it changed the atmosphere. Faith in the room went to a whole new level. It's amazing. The power of our words can completely build up. Isn't that amazing? Life and death are truly in the power of the tongue. I want you to look over in Mark chapter 11 real quick. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. It says, "For assuredly I say to you that whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them." People love this verse. Anybody like that verse? When you hear bad news, you hear the big C word, cancer, in your relationship, the big D word, divorce, gets talked about. We start speaking to mountains, don't we? Be removed. We start speaking in faith. Hopefully we hear verses like that and it brings us encouragement. That's the first thing that we say because it brings us hope. But did you know you can also believe the wrong things and say the wrong things and that people will be removed from you? Things will be removed from you as well when you use the wrong thing. For example, if you speak wrong things around your kids long enough, this is where I start meddling. Somebody go, If you speak the wrong things around your spouse long enough, Y'all quiet. Sooner or later, if you speak the wrong things at your job long enough, those things will begin to be removed from you. You have the power of life and you have the power of death. My big thought for you today, if I had a big thought, is choose to speak life. It is a choice. You control it. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20 says this: "This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death." You guys see that? I have set, this is God. Everybody say, this is God. And he has set before you life and death. It says, choose life. God's trying to drop some knowledge like college on you. He says, choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have the power to speak life or to speak death. Very personal to me, when I was eight years old, I was a pretty dumb kid, like all eight-year-olds. We're not very smart. And I lived in a duplex, a two-bedroom duplex with my mom and my older brother, and I did a lot of, silly things. Well, my mom, she decided she had to use the bathroom because for whatever reason, moms go to the bathroom, and little kids, we don't like it when mama goes to the bathroom. So I'm like a little kid. I run over to the door. Mama, 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 mama. Do, 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 do. Now I don't hear mama talking. So what do I do? Do, 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 do. Mama, mama, mama. And she says, "What are you, stupid? Why are you laughing?" I don't know about you. You saw that little arrow from the Secure Conference? It felt like something like that went right down in me. For over probably 15 years, those words, and if you guys get quiet like you did a minute ago, I can almost hear those words precisely, the tone, the way she said it. And it started to make me question certain things. Well, maybe I'm not. Mama said it. So if I got a bad grade, what do I think? I don't care. I'm stupid anyway. And it wasn't until I got in my 20s that I got enough nerve and courage and boldness, and I went to my mom and I said, "When I was little, you told me I was stupid, and that really hurt me." And do you think she really tried to hurt me? Mama loves me. All mamas love their kids. All mamas love their kids. But sometimes we get frustrated, don't we? Sometimes my mama was an RN and an ER for like 30 years. She worked. She was a single mom with no child support. She worked hard. And here's this little goofy kid getting on her nerves, and she couldn't control it. She had no idea that she was doing lasting damage in her little boy's life. Words have power. They have power. And the funny thing about all this is the closer the relationship you have with the person who speaks, the harder the words cut. That's why parents, spouses, grandparents, people that are super close, maybe your boss, people that say things, they can just slice right through you. And to be honest, if you're a parent, if you're a spouse, if you're an employer, a boss, somebody with authority in somebody else's life, you need to be extra. That's how we say it in South. Extra careful about what you say and how you say it, because it has the potential to do some damage. The thing is when we don't speak life, it can generate fear, doubt, and death. But now, on the flip side, when you speak life, ready for some good stuff? Everybody say, When you speak life, it can restore. When you speak life, it can repair. When you speak life, it can renew. When you speak life, it can revitalize. When you speak life, it can reconcile. But you choose. It can revitalize relationships that may have gone dead. I want you to see something else. Remember our boy Joseph back in the day? We're going to go back and finish that really quick. Genesis chapter 45, verse 25 through 27. Of course, most of you know if you've read this, a lot of extra bad things happened to Joseph. He went from the pit and he went to slavery. He went to jail, but then God started doing some big stuff in his life. He kept getting promotion after promotion, and he was the second in charge out of all of Egypt. And then the brothers come begging for food, bowing down to him, just like God said they would do. And so in verse 25, it says, so they went out of Egypt. This is the brothers, and they came to their father in the land of Canaan. Now the brothers have something new. They have new words to tell their dad. They said, Joseph is still alive. First there were words of death, now there were words of life. They said, he is ruler of all Egypt. Jacob was stunned. Now think, for probably 15, 20 years, he thought his baby boy was dead. And all of a sudden, he is alive. He did not believe them. But check this out. It says, when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, when they saw the carts that Joseph had sent to carry back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. It's amazing how even in a relationship where words of death have been spoken and it sucked the life out of a marriage or out of a friendship or out of a relationship, words of life, words of death did that, words of life can revive it. It's like breathing new life. So here's a big tip if you're married. Start speaking life. Girl, I like them shoes, baby. You're doing good things. You know, speak life. I just let y'all into my game. When you get married, you still got to have game, Pastor Lance. Come on. Never mind. I'll say it. So sometimes I look at my wife and say, you got their lips, hips, and fingertips. No, that's my wife, you know. I speak in life over her. Somebody say that's all right. There you go. So what are you going to do? Now, we know it's a choice. What are you going to do with the words that come out of your mouth? You have a responsibility. It's like the old Spider-Man saying, with great power comes what? Great. That's exactly right. You have power in your words. How will you use it? Now, some of you already know you struggle with this. Anybody brave enough to say, I got a little problem with how to use my words 100% of the time? Okay, there you go. In church, you got to tell the truth. You need to make some changes. You need to change how you see your words, not other people's words. We can't control that. People are still going to say the same stuff they've been saying. We pray all the time that they would change. Lord, help my neighbor, change them. They need Jesus. My coworkers, they all need Jesus. My family, they need Jesus. Help them, Jesus. Change them, Jesus. He wants to work on you. If you know him, he wants to change you. He don't know them. He knows them, but you know what I mean. He really knows you because you're his child. You know what I'm saying? He wants to change your words. No, this is a very powerful statement. No words are harmless or should ever be used in a careless manner. This is hard for me because we like to joke, we like to cut up, we like to act a fool, but every word has the potential to bring life or to bring death. Whether they're right beside you or on the other side of the state or the country, and you don't like mom and them, they crazy, I'm glad they don't ever come here. You are speaking death over that relationship. Words are like sound. They travel and you can't even see where they go. So make a decision. Here's a challenge for you. Make a decision today for the next month that you will speak life. Next 30 days. Anybody want to take it? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Anybody else? 45, 50, 55. Next 30 days. Decide today that negative words of death will not come from your mouth. And we're going to up the ante. It's like poker. We're going to up the ante. I would announce this to your family. I would announce this on social media for the next 30 days. I'm not speaking death, only life. Now, we know in reality, you have a sin nature and you're going to mess up. We already know that. Now, some of you didn't raise your hand because, you know, that's a long time. That's like holding your breath for 2 minutes. I don't know if I can do it. Smoke for 10 years. I don't know. If you mess up, the Bible is so good to us. It gives us a way out. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. I only got 2 minutes. We're going to narrow this plane down. The landing gear just got going down, so we're almost home. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. It says, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said." Hey, this is talking about really like cosigning on a loan. But essentially what it's saying is if you've done something dumb and you've spoken something you shouldn't have spoken, you did the thing you weren't supposed to do. Words came out of your mouth you wish you could take back, but they went out anyway. It says you are ensnared by the words of your mouth. Number 3, verse 3 says, "So do this." Now, not many times in the Bible it says, "So do this." The Bible's really clear in a lot of places. If you did this, do that. It's kind of like Hitch, the relationship coach. You messed that up. This is what you need to do. It says, "My son, free yourself since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go to the point of exhaustion." Spit on somebody. Give your neighbor no rest. Basically what it's saying is you should go to the person whose words you use your words carelessly. Go to that person, free yourself. Ask them to forgive you. Recognize what you did was wrong. How can I make it up to you? Do whatever it takes to repair the relationship. And by the grace of God, the damage that you've done may be mitigated. Somebody say, mm-hmm. Now here, why would we go through the effort for 30 days to do all of this? It sounds hard. It sounds impossible. But here's a big thing. One of the main reasons why you should do anything in life, if you call yourself a child of God, is it brings glory to Him. It brings glory to Him. See, life is not about us. It's about Him. And God can use you. Whatever you do for a living, whatever you don't do, it can all be used by God. The words you speak can bring life and they can bring death. The Bible says we should choose life. You know, when Jesus was faced with the harsh reality of people's words and their actions, I can imagine, only imagine, how they hurt him. Imagine some of the words that Jesus heard. Now, you're doing your thing. God became man in Jesus Christ. He brought his 12 closest friends, his boys with him everywhere, loved on them, shared the power of God with them, told them they could do great things. And here you are almost to the point of death, and he hears the words, "I never knew him." Ever anybody kind of stab you in the back when you thought they were close to you? They should have been near to you. They should have been the ones protecting you, and you hear words like that. Jesus heard that 3 times. "I never knew him. I don't even know who he is." And still, Jesus chose words of life. He was on the cross. People were still mocking him. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." He didn't blame anybody. He didn't attack anybody. He didn't say, "I'm about to show all y'all wrong." Right? He could have. He said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't even know what they're doing." He spoke words of life over a dark situation. God has given you power to speak life into dark places. Sometimes it's the future that looks dark. You can speak God's word into that thing. I just want to pray for you as I finish up today that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the Bible said, lives in you, is also giving you power to speak life. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You have been given the potential, the power to speak life. Father, I pray for all our friends in this room. Give us the power to speak life. Father, I pray that the personification of our words, we would literally be able to see our words that come out of our mouth as things that can breathe life or things that can bring death. I even pray, God, that you would give us the boldness, if we have spoken life or spoken death, that we would go and we would free ourselves from those words by tracking down the people at the point of exhaustion to make it right. We would begin to speak life over our home and our relationships and our families and on our job, even the jobs we hate. Let us speak life over them, our neighborhood. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I just agree.